sharks are swimming about, I can tell you this particular shark is somebody you want swimming in your corner. This is Lisa Sharkey. She is famous for nonfiction books. She is at the top of her game in the publishing field. Lisa, it is a thrill to have you on Passion to Power.
Thank you so much. I don't know if I'm famous, but I definitely am a shark. So there you
You are
go.
definitely a shark. And in fact, for my audience that knows that I'm a talent literary rep, besides being the host of the show, we actually talked about a couple books. And I remember very distinctly there was this, da-dum, 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 that's my Jaws impression, whenever I spoke to you, because you know exactly what you want, you know exactly what your audience needs.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzat Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
So I'm sitting on the floor of a hotel room in St. Louis, Missouri, on the campus of Washington University, where I am going to meet all my students tomorrow because I am filling in this semester as a professor teaching book publishing in the English department, the business of book publishing. And that is a business that I've been in for the past 16 years. I'm a senior vice president and director of creative development at HarperCollins. It's a passionate career for me, and it's a second career. I was a television news journalist prior to moving into book publishing in 2007. It was a 5-year long journey to get here. I always loved books. I actually studied at Washington University in St. Louis in the comparative literature department, and I never realized books could be a career. I went into journalism. I climbed my way up the ladder. I was senior producer of Good Morning America. Whenever books would come into the newsroom, I would say, "Oh my God, I want to make these books bestsellers." So Jane Friedman was the CEO of HarperCollins back in, gosh, 2002, 2003, and I was a senior producer at Good Morning America, and I was helping to make books into bestsellers, including books that she had published, and she didn't know why, and she didn't know me, and I wasn't getting paid to do that. I was getting paid to be the senior producer of Good Morning America, one of many senior producers. So I was invited to come meet her, and I said, "I think I've climbed up the wrong ladder. I want to be in book publishing, and what I'd like to do is run after book ideas the way I run after news stories." And she said, "Oh, that's, we're not ready for you yet. We're not ready for you yet." And over a 5-year time period, she introduced me to all kinds of interesting people at HarperCollins, including Brian Murray, who had just left his post as the CEO of Harper Australia. He's now our CEO at HarperCollins. And eventually, it was 2007, and I had read about a very high-profile woman who had left HarperCollins under not great circumstances. And I called Jane and said, "Hey, that sounds like something that I could do." Maybe not exactly her job. And she said, "Now we're ready for you." And she offered me a job on the spot. And I had to make a decision. One was the road I knew, and one was a road I knew nothing about. I mean, as far as I was concerned, an imprint was what happens when a little chicken follows around anything that it sees. But that was an imprint. And these are not things I had paid attention to. I always loved books. I always, in my television news career, put authors on TV. But anyhow, I was introduced to Michael Morrison, who was the president of the General Books Group at the time, and I decided to jump into the book arena. And I haven't looked back. It's been 16 years. I've published dozens of New York Times bestsellers, many at number one across multiple nonfiction categories. This is, my most recent number one bestseller with Benjamin Hall. This is another recent number one bestseller with Harris Faulkner. This is a recent number 11 New York Times bestseller with Michelle Miller from CBS News. This is a book that's not a bestseller, but it's getting beautifully reviewed. It's a narrative nonfiction about bird migration.
Light Paths.
Light Paths, yes.
Who's the author of that one?
Rebecca Heisman. She is an ornithological journalist out of Walla Walla, Washington. And, you know, in book publishing, the traditional way it works is that agents sign clients and they work on book proposals and nonfiction and they send them out, and you hear those proposals before, you know, everything was electronic, thumping on the desks of every editor, probably at every imprint, which is the lines of books within a bigger house, a book publishing organization. But that's not how I prefer to work. I would rather hear about an idea, run after the person and sign them up either before they are represented or even if they are represented. I don't like participating in auctions against other people. While I am a competitive person, I don't like to lose. And if you are in an auction, you know, there's a good chance you will. And I have been in many auctions over the years. It's not to say that I won't do that. I would just rather be the first person to jump in. I'm sort of a hybrid of a publisher and an editor because I don't always, and I often don't get in at the sentence level, although sometimes I do. I more or less mentor young people up through that track. And for many years, I had an executive editor, Matt Harper, working by my side as really the person who was deep inside the narrative. But I'm the person that has sort of the idea of what the book should be, how should it be shaped, what is the thrust of it, and how are we going to get it out there and market the hell out of it and make it a bestseller. So that's what I do, and that's what I love to do, and that's what I've continued to do. I mean, same thing with Benjamin Hall, where, of course, everyone was aghast when on March 14th, 2022, so that's really only 1 year ago, and the book actually came out on the one-year anniversary of the incident. He was riding in a car covering the war in Ukraine. He's a correspondent for Fox News. He was one of five people, and he was in a devastating bomb attack. This is him full body. He has lost one leg, the part of one foot, the vision in one eye, the hearing in one ear. He has burns all over his body, but everyone else died, and he made it out. And I immediately, you know, worked myself into a situation where I reached out to anyone and anyone that I could. And oftentimes, you know, as a news producer, I don't wait the way you might, let's say, wait as a book publisher. I don't wait around for like the story to settle. I usually will write a letter saying, I realize that it may be too soon, but I feel the need is urgent and it takes a long time for a book to come out. So if you are at all interested in a book, you know, let's begin talking about it now, because by the time you write it and it comes out, it will be the better part of a year. What is your brand as an author? Because that's something that authors often don't think about. They think, oh, I'm going to write a book and then I'm going to grow my audience. And I'm like, no, you really aren't going to get a good book deal or any book deal at all from a major publisher if you don't already have, you know, an identified audience.
And speaking of identified audiences, I thought you were going to say the word, so I was waiting for you to fill in the blank. That word is, it starts with a P. Platform. That's the word. That's the buzzword.
Can you talk to this person? They've written a book, and, you know, it's like, why did you shut yourself in a room for 10 years typing? You need to realize that your book is just going to be read in the room that you typed it in by you or maybe your family. But if you haven't worked on figuring out, and in today's universe, it's not that hard to figure out who your audience is. And I give people homework about that. You know, right. What church are you in? What schools your children attend? Where did you go to college? Is there a PR firm? Do you have a local newspaper? Have you ever worked in a bookstore? Do you know your local bookstore? You know, there's so many things that people, they just aren't trained. That's why I'm teaching this course here, because kids who come out of the humanities often are not properly equipped to go into work that is directly related to the humanities. And then they have to pay thousands more dollars to take like the NYU or the Columbia University 6 weeks publishing course. Whereas if it just got taught in the English department when they were at university, they would come out and they would understand what it means to be an editor or a marketer or a publicist of a book. There's a children's book that's come out today that is the children's book author is one of my adult authors, Amanda Klutz, whose husband, Nick Cordero, was one of the first people to, you know, high profile public figures to die of COVID. And I reached out to her also separate and apart from an agent and signed her up for a book called Live Your Life. It was a big New York Times bestseller. And then I went to the kids department because she and Nick were the parents of a little boy named Elvis, and she is now, you know, a widow raising him with the help of her family and friends and a beautiful person. And I, you know, because she's a young mom and one of the hosts of the talk, which she wasn't when I originally signed her up, I went to our kids division and said, hey guys, Amanda Klutz would be a great children's book author. And took me a couple of pushes, but anyhow, her book, I believe it's called Tell Me Your Dreams, came out today, and it's about a little boy who goes on adventures at night with his dad after his mom puts him to sleep. So it's, you know, the implication there is that, you know, he gets to be with his dad in his dreams. This is a book. Your story deserves to be written in the pages of a book, and I want to be your publisher.
Lisa, when you're working in nonfiction, what are the stories that inspire you? I know you said that you went after the story with this this correspondent in the Ukraine. You went after this very important story of this woman, feminist story, empowerment.
I think stories of resilience are very important to me, and stories that illuminate a history that has not been talked about a lot. And I also, you know, I like journalism. If you were to ask me some of the books that, you know, meant the most to me in my entire career, you know, not including the ones that I already just talked about, and all of my books mean so much to me, but a year ago, January 4th, 2021, the insurrection happened on January 6th. Then Jamie Raskin became the lead impeachment manager for the House of Representatives in the second impeachment trial of the 45th president of the United States. And right before that happened, he lost his son to suicide. And I was incredibly moved by his story. And when I heard his opening and closing arguments at the impeachment trial, I reached out to him in a letter as well and asked him if he would consider writing a book. And I realized what a difficult time in his life these 45 to 50 days were, from, you know, losing your beloved only son to suicide, followed by nearly losing your own life in the middle of the insurrection on January 6th. And then Nancy Pelosi asks you if you could please be the lead prosecutor of the president of the United States. And he got the most bipartisan votes in the history of impeachments, but the president was not convicted. But the window into the Constitution was very vivid to me, and I felt like I learned so much listening to him. Anyhow, a week after I wrote him the letter, he called me and he said, you know, I couldn't believe it. It was Jamie Raskin on the phone, and I was terribly moved and like had to sit down and breathe through it. But we did work on a book that was also a number one New York Times bestseller. It's called Unthinkable: Trauma, Truth, and the Trials of American Democracy by Jamie Raskin. And that book really meant a lot to me. And he's just an extraordinary human being. I also worked with Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings, who was the head of a very important committee that Michael Cohen was testifying at. And it was the Oversight and Reform Committee. And during the hearing, Elijah Cummings, also a representative from Maryland, was presiding over the hearing, and he started to bang his gavel talking. And he said, we're better than this. And he was really passionate, and I signed him up for a book called We're Better Than This. That book won the NAACP Image Award, and I was super proud of that. Unfortunately, Elijah passed away before the book was fully completed, and his widow, Maya Rocky Moore Cummings, who is somebody that I knew for a long time. She had been an Aspen Fellow with my sister, Tina, one of my sisters. She helped and she did the media, and the book is a beautiful book. Some other books that I've really felt strongly about over the years. I did a book with a woman named Regina Calcaterra, who I happened to just meet at a breakfast. She was so polished and just well-spoken, and we were going around the table introducing ourselves to one another, and she said, you know, my name is Regina Calcaterra. I was the number two person in charge of Suffolk County, New York, on Long Island. But when I was a child, I lived on Suffolk County, and I was a foster child, and I was homeless. And my mother had five children, all by different fathers, and tremendously abused all of us. And I ended up signing her up for a paperback book called Etched in Sand, which became a huge New York Times bestseller. It's been translated into multiple languages and even has a sequel called Girl Unbroken by Regina and her sister, Rosie Maloney. So those books really changed the way I felt about people who were foster children. And I remember growing up I grew up in Westchester County, New York, and there was a foster child who was sort of in our school. And I sort of looked down upon her because I didn't understand what that meant. And now I feel like I made that up to her by publishing this book. And laws were changed in the wake of this book. If a young child who doesn't look quite right is seen sort of stealing food from a grocery store without a parent there, they're going to look the other way now in certain areas because they realize that the reason the parent isn't there is that they're not being properly parented, and they're probably starving, as Regina and her siblings were, and they would go into the grocery store with two boxes of different sizes, saying they were moving and they needed boxes, and they would slide the food into the perimeter in between the two boxes. I have a passion for people who live their lives as blessings, despite the fact that on the surface of it, you might think that they have a terrible life. But when you read their story, you realize that they actually might not have been dealt the best hand of cards, but they somehow figured out with grit and resilience how to rise above their circumstances and inspire other people. And that's what I like to do. I love to help people tell their stories. That's why I attend writers' conferences and mentor people. And whether that person is, I've published many Olympic athletes books, you know, Gabby Douglas, Lindsey Vonn, Nathan Chen, Lori Hernandez, some major athletes, Tim Tebow, Jorge Posada, James Blake, a tennis player, and some, you know, rock stars, musicians, Sammy Hagar, Sissy Houston. Just people who are just amazing people who have achieved so much in one way, but they've never achieved success in the area that I can help them with, which is writing it down in a book.
One of the themes of Passion to Power is we all have a unique trajectory. I call it your yellow brick road to success. And, you know, being a young artist myself, I got out of high school early. Now they call it the CHESPE. It was then called the equivalency exam. So I actually graduated early from high school to move to New York to become a classical ballet dancer, joined the Joffrey Ballet, then had injuries, ended up on Broadway with the creator of Chorus Line and Dreamgirls, the master, first director to get created by credit on Broadway, Michael Bennett, and get named Diva by him, and then be so inspired and trained in life. So I had a very unique and young trajectory, and then came back to higher learning much later in life through an extraordinary program called LEAP, which was literally created by a ballet dancer for ballet dancers who never went to college because we have such a young trajectory. So I appreciate the flow of a life in the arts and entertainment and how we all get to where we're supposed to be and our destinations.
Well, you know, I also graduated high school early. I was 16 when I came to Washington University. I was the youngest kid on campus. I was lost. I took drugs when I was 12, 13, 14, 15. I was in with a crowd that was not the right crowd. I got high a lot. You know, I didn't realize that there was something as exciting as university learning. I was just, you know, I grew up in an era where there wasn't that much attention paid to the kids. You know, my parents didn't know what to do with me. My mom was a teenage bride. My dad was pretty young. They were in the garment center. I'm the oldest kid. And I just thought, what am I doing here? Why am I in this suburban weird place where all the houses kind of look alike? This doesn't feel right to me. And if I, you know, talking back to myself back then, I would have said, you know, it's all going to turn out the way it ought to, and just, you know, keep looking to others for inspiration, look to people who want to share their gifts, and in sharing their gifts, that is a gift, and then you can turn around and share yours. I feel very blessed. I feel like I'm here to do things that can influence a lot of people in a very positive way. The message that I like to always have the books that I work on have inside them is positivity, hopefulness, and resilience.
You know, when I was early transitioning into representing writers in the literary world, because I'd been in the talent side forever, you were one of those kind voices, and I knew you were a busy individual, but you spent a great deal of time with me. And so I want to say thank you. And I also want to encourage all of our listeners that if you want to be, you know, working in the publishing industry, that you do your research about the people that you want to engage with and that you want to work with. Because generally, even when they're famous, and I call everybody hashtag big shots on my show, they're generally pretty available because they want their legacy known. And they usually had somebody else mentor them or give them a leg up, and they're happy and gracious to do that. I am asked all the time to help young dancers and actors and artists, and I'm always happy to do so. It's one of my greatest joys. So thank you from one extrovert to another for joining me on Passion to Power. And I know that this podcast is going to bring great value to those aspiring in their careers, but also for those pivoting in later years, because I can see that you're still making shifts and still finding that part of Lisa that's shifting and shaking and all of creating the new identity throughout the years, right?
Absolutely. Change is the only constant.
Thank you so much. And we'll be in touch real soon.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Namaste.
Namaste.
So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com, and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.